Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Nice to have you with us. And we are excited to welcome back to our microphones today Dr. Julianne Blake. She is a fabulous success coach and a miracle healer. And we love having her back with us. She's in the midst of a series of broadcasts with us. And it's lovely having her with us from her headquarters out in Temecula, California. Dr. Blake, by the way, she has a great website, and I would encourage you to take a look at her website, which is julianblake.me, julianblake.me, and I think you will, julianblakephd.me. She is a certified professional success coach who offers high-level training in Jack Canfield's outstanding system for attaining ultimate success as a coach and a trainer who guides you in breaking through obstacles and limitations to create lives that you want to live. She's a one-time professional dancer, believe it or not, who got her doctorate in clinical psychology, and she was a practicing psychotherapist for 18 years, and she developed exciting, innovative methods in Gestalt art therapy, and the practice focused on teens and adults, and self-esteem issues, which is what she focuses on so heavily, and women in relationships crisis. And she also specializes in effectively counseling people who have been challenged by chronic or life-threatening illness, particularly cancer. So that's a little bit about her story. We're going to bring her on today because we have a number of specific topics that we want to cover. And today we're going to talk about your mindset and how to take back control. How about that? That's a fabulous subject to talk about. So, Dr. Julianne Blake, welcome back to CUTV News Radio. How are you today? Nice to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much, Doug, for welcoming me so enthusiastically. I'm happy to be with you again.
Well, it's a delight to have you here, and let's get to it. And if you hear any noise, there are some guys blowing some leaves away here, right out my window. Wouldn't you know they do that right when we go on the air? But not much I can do about that. They're going to disappear in a moment or two. We have Leaf City here. All the leaves have fallen off the trees here on the East Coast where it's frigid outside today. So that's about it. You're in California, and you don't have that. You don't have that problem today, that's for sure.
Let me
ask you a question. A lot of doctors focus on expensive pharmaceuticals when they're treating their clients. You, on the other hand, do something different. You focus on the mind. Now, explain to me the subconscious mind and how it's programmed. And I understand early on in life, by the age of 7, how does that happen? How does it work? Talk to me about it.
Well, you know, we actually start training our subconscious mind in everything, our idea of who we are. It starts forming while we're still in the womb, before we're even born. And it's actually completely done by the time we're 7 years old. And that means that we have our idea of who we are and what we're capable of, what we can do, and how we feel about ourselves. It's all sort of pretty much cemented in by the time we're 7.
How is that possible? We understand who we are, what we're all about. Kids themselves don't even know who. That's fine, hard to believe. Wow, interesting.
I know. I love to say that I'm never going to grow up and know what I want to do when I grow up. But here's the way it works is like you know, we've all seen kids, somebody's kids, like around 2 years old when we're toddlers, kids hear the word no. Don't do that. That's not good. Stop. Like they hear, it's been studied about 400 times a day. Usually that's average, 400 times a day. And how many times do you think they hear, good, that's great, you're doing fantastic? maybe five, maybe 10 if they're really lucky. So we get this incredibly unbalanced negative idea of what we can't do and what we're not supposed to do and how we're usually doing it wrong no matter what. And, you know, that becomes part, unless we have, you know, great luck and amazing parents who are really, really supportive and loving and encouraging, we kind of grow up with a lot of doubts and fears and anger about ourselves and feelings of incompetence. And that we, most people struggle to get over for their whole lives. So we can consider that at one level, our subconscious is programmed by 7 years old. But does that mean there's no way we can change it after that? No, it doesn't. It just means that in order to change it, you have to consciously decide to and make that choice and be willing to put in a little time and effort. You have to learn how. And that means
how
somebody
do you do
has
that?
To teach us. Well, we didn't
the question
get
is, how do you do it?
Well, I do it by helping people learn to reprogram their subconscious. And that's actually done by, I use guided visualization, which is like a very gentle form of teaching people self-hypnosis. You don't really get hypnotized, you just guide your mind. But it does go into the subconscious, and you can actually offer yourself new ideas of who you are. You can cancel out some of the old ones that you don't like or don't want and put in ones that you do. And those could be called affirmations, for example. And I teach courses in affirmations. I teach people how to do very powerful ones. And then if you make that into a practice with meditation, it becomes a very powerful way to reprogram your subconscious so that you really do have a different idea of yourself and what you're capable of so that you can have confidence and joy in life.
Well, that's pretty fascinating information. I had no idea you could reprogram your subconscious. That's interesting.
Yeah.
The big question is, do you want to? I guess a lot of people do.
Exactly.
No question about that. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't have any idea that they can because we're not told that. So you have to find out that it's possible. You have to believe, you know, be willing to believe that it's possible.
We don't think about our subconscious. You know, most people don't.
No.
I don't know. I don't think about mine. It's just funny.
I only think about mine when it's a problem and I don't seem to be getting anywhere and trying to do something I really want done. And I know that that comes from me thinking I can't do it. I'm not smart enough, good enough, pretty enough, old enough, fat enough, or thin enough, or whatever it is I need to be enough of. So we change that. We change those not enoughnesses.
All right, let's change direction here for a minute. We've been talking about about conventional medicine a lot, and for many people, it doesn't seem to work. And I'm wondering, why do you think diseases have stopped responding to a lot of antibiotics? We hear that a lot, and it results in the existence of a lot of dangers in our hospitals. Why do you think
that
is?
Absolutely. The hospitals are very dangerous places to go now, and it's true. And part of it is because a lot of viruses and bacteria have become antibiotic resistant. They don't respond anymore. It doesn't bother them. They're used to it, especially in the hospitals. That's where they're just rampant. My cousin was actually in a very minor auto accident and had an injury to his leg and was taken to the hospital, and he got MRSA there. That's the skin-devouring bacteria that kills people. He was paralyzed, totally paralyzed, with no help in sight for 6 months. He did recover. But, you know, it's amazing how many people actually go down with that, lose legs or lose their life because our hospitals are rampant. And one of the reasons is because there's no way to kill the antibiotic-resistant critters in the hospital.
What is MRSA? Is that a disease? MRSA, or is it? What does it stand for?
Yes, it's MRSA. It is MRSA. We call it MRSA. You know, the it's got a long name, which I actually learned, but I don't remember it. But it stands for something that actually eats living flesh. So it actually, once it gets into your body through an infection or a cut or whatever, in the hospital, it starts to actually consume your tissues. And very dangerous.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good. Well, the big question, of course, is we know this is what can be done about it? Is there anything can be done about it?
Well, you know, we actually have not found a way in this country to deal with it. One of the ways that they actually do deal with it in Japan, there's a kind of water filtration that I actually hope to. Oh, my goodness.
But you all right?
Sorry, that was my. I have an alarm on my phone. I didn't realize. Excuse me. But
don't worry about it. That's okay. We can live with that.
Thank you. Good. There is the only thing that I know of. There are some chemical substances that'll kill, you know, like everything in sight. Like actually the salt in the salt sea in Israel, actually that will kill every living thing. But it's also very dangerous to have too much of it around us. But what they do in Japan is they have a water filtration that actually makes a very acid water. And, you know, we try to avoid that because acid, you know, cancer grows in acid conditions and stuff like that. But this very acid water kills all bacteria and viruses and microbes, and they use it for sterilization of the hospitals in Japan, and they don't have MRSA there. They don't have rampant antibiotic-resistant things to the extent that we do at all. So that's, you know, that's, and I use it at my house. I actually think it's really great, especially, you know, around kids that are always running around with viruses and bacteria and snotty noses. So it's awesome. And it also makes very great alkaline water to drink.
But all right.
I don't want to.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit here.
Good.
I know what you specialize in a lot, but what are some of the ways that we can be, like our listeners and me, can be more of a rebel and help fight disease? Now, one of the things you use is guided meditation. Tell me why that helps. How can that help?
Well, you know, it's partly because of what we first started talking about. It actually can help you to shift your subconscious idea of yourself and of your ability to fight disease. So if you think, oh, I'm helpless, I'm just a victim of this disease, which is kind of what we're taught a lot, only the doctor can fix it, they got to give me some pills, you kind of you make yourself powerless. And basically, most of us, that's sort of how we're taught about illness, when in fact we're immensely powerful, more than we've ever been told or imagined. And if we can retrain that subconscious mind, we can heal almost anything. I mean, we can make a huge difference in our health, no matter what condition we're in. And I know, because I'm working on paralysis now, so I'm a good model. But I've also worked a lot with cancer patients, and even the ones that were advanced stage 4 could reverse their cancer when they really wanted to and when they were willing to use the meditation. Most people love the meditation. Some people think it's hard work, but you don't have to try to calm your mind. That's not the idea at all. What you do, my guided meditations and the ones I think are wonderful, are actually something that's a really great experience that we love, because what we do is give the mind something to focus on that it loves and enjoys. So I do guided meditation. I actually have one that I offer for free as a sample. on my website, JulianneBlakePhD.me, which is how to lift away stress in 8 minutes or less. It's a 7-minute meditation that really moves you to a beautiful state without any stress. I recommend it. I even like it, and I did it.
What is, I know what meditation is, but when you use the term guided meditation, what's guided meditation? Explain that.
Okay. Well, that means instead of you trying to stop your thoughts or trying to focus on one sound or word or picture, some of the classic things that we've all heard of as meditation, it's really you just listen to a guided talk or journey. Like I said, mine is only 7 minutes. It just helps you relax and let go of stress and move into and change your breathing. Basically, it works with breathing, and you just move into a really gentler state, and you can start to hear different things that you would like to implant in your subconscious about how powerful you are, how relaxed you are, how easy life can be, and things that you would that you really can enjoy.
Okay, well, that helps. Another question, does controlled breathing work as well or also?
Well, controlled breathing is very powerful technique for meditation. It's been used a lot in Asia, but you don't have to, it is for people who want to do that. There's no question about it. You can change your state of consciousness and start to control some physiological things by controlling your breathing. But it's very advanced. It's very complex to do it right. And honestly, it's not necessary to change your state of consciousness to do that deep controlled breathing. You know, taking a few deep breaths can change your state a lot. We don't do that very much. I highly recommend it. Let's take one right now.
And how long does your meditation usually last? Is it, you know, give me an idea, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, one minute?
The one that I offer is 7 minutes. I think that's a very good short meditation. I also have one for sale that's about releasing pain and healing illness, then that's longer. That's 20. So they would be more like 20, 25 minutes. And some people do really long ones, but I don't know that it's necessary. You can also just do the guided meditation and then keep some very peaceful music that you love playing afterwards so that you can just relax and rest. Can be any length. It can be any length. I like shorter ones.
Okay. And what are you doing while you're meditating? Are you just sitting, relaxing? Are you moving around? Are you kind of put yourself in a trance? What's the condition when you do this?
That's a good question, you know. In a way, you put yourself in a trance, but it's not the kind of trance that people think of where nobody else has control over you. You know what's funny? Most people do sitting meditation where they sit traditionally in Asia. You would sit with a straight back and cross your legs. Here, we kind of just get comfortable. So you want to have a straight back because the energy does move up and down your spine. But basically, you can sit in a reclining chair and you just close your eyes and drift away and let yourself, you know, you don't want to go to sleep. If you can help it. If you do, it's not bad. It's not bad because your mind is
Yeah, that's not good.
No, but you actually, your unconscious is still hearing the same thing. So you just don't get to enjoy it. So you want to stay awake, but you can be ideally a straight back. You can be as comfortable as you want. So I don't recommend lying down unless you have to, but you can get into a recliner. You can totally relax, really. And some people are very active, and they don't want to relax and sit down. And so they do moving meditation or dancing or walking. Like, you can play the guided meditation while you're walking in the park. if you choose.
One other question, does it matter what time of day you do this? Is it best to do it when you first get up in the morning or when? How do you feel about that?
Okay. Well, you know, the generalist and the most general answer is, you know, it doesn't matter because any time you do it, any of that is good. But there are two times a day when your subconscious is more like available, like at the surface. And that's first thing when you wake up and right before you go to sleep. So those are ideal times, especially if it's a guided meditation. You don't have to do anything except listen. And you might want to have music on, or maybe the meditation will have music with it, like mine too. And you just do it. But those are ideal times. But any time is good.
Okay, that's important to establish. Good. You also specialize in using affirmations, don't you? Explain that.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, that's one of the main techniques, and a lot of people have heard about them and even use them a little bit, but I teach a way to actually use them to
it's all right, what's the matter?
I just got a phone call and it told me.
All right.
So sorry.
You're on a phone call right now, you can't take that one. Okay.
Exactly. So
okay.
So, you know, I just teach a way to really do very empowering affirmations that you can experience, that you can enjoy, and that will begin to change your life. In order to use them to really make changes in your life, you want to do it, again, ideally early in the morning or when you wake up and when you're about to go to sleep. And you don't need to do a long time, but maybe 5 or 7 times of each one, and then you pick ones that are written powerfully just for you. And I can
some people may not
know
what you mean by, or we mean, because I brought it up, what is meant by an affirmation. When I say you use affirmations, you specialize in it. Give me some of your tips. What are affirmations? What do we mean by that?
Okay, so like it's something you might say to yourself about how you are, like. You know, we talked about how the subconscious has this whole idea. So if I want to change that, I could say to myself, I love my dancing and it's helping me drop extra weight. So, and it might be simpler. Ideally, they'll get simpler and shorter. But you go for what is powerful to you. It's always about me, because they're never about somebody else. We can only really change ourselves, but when we do, it's how other people relate to us. But I say, I'm happy doing this. I love doing that. I'm coming to my perfect ideal weight. I'm getting stronger every day. And, you know, I'm loving being in school and learning again. Anything like that I want to encourage and excite myself about, those would be positive living affirmations.
Well, that's good advice. Very good advice. And in the end, it's all going to make you feel better, hopefully. That's why you're doing it, right? Clear your mind.
Absolutely.
Feel better physically.
You know?
Right.
It does. And the people who it makes feel better do more of it, and they get better results.
You know, I know you have clients who come to you and, you know, they consult with you and work with you in various ways, but do you usually offer your methods to your clients and conduct exercise with them, either when they're with you in person or if you're doing this remotely? Do you do that?
Yes, I do. I actually do. I used to only work with people in person, you know, and these days it's not necessary anymore. I work with people all over the world because the telephones are very powerful and available and immediate. And also we have all kinds of ways online where we can actually see each other and, you know, talk just like we're right in the same room. So that makes it very easy for me to work with people anywhere as long as we can get our time zones hooked up.
Yeah, no. And do you give them homework, by the way? That's another interesting aspect. I understand you do.
Absolutely. You know, but it's not really work. You know, they usually love it. So it might be developing affirmations. It might be doing the guided visualizations that we've created for them, or that they've created for them, or that they've purchased for themselves. I do live guided visualizations with them during a session, and I'll record that and just ask them to do it once a day, or work on affirmations, or work on, you know, what, depending on what their goal is. It might, you know, their goal might be physical, you know, getting stronger, getting more agile.
Right.
They can do exercise. So whatever they want to do, but we find a way for them to do it with joy, because that's where they get the best results, and that's what makes them want to do it.
Well, that is so great to hear. One other point. How critical is desire for the goal in all of this? How integral and how critical is that desire for the goal?
You know, I think it's the bottom line. For me,
really?
It's absolutely crucial, because wanting something is the most powerful motivation there is. And when we love it and we want it for, you know, our health, or for loving our family and creating better relationships, or if it's even for making higher, better income in an easier way so that we can be confident and relaxed and enjoy life, the desire, how much we want that firing us, that's what's fueling us. And it gives us the energy and the strength to go for it, both emotionally, mentally, and physically, to do the work, whatever's required, you know, to do the physical exercise, or to do the driving to the gym, or to do the sitting down to do a meditation, all of those things. And that the results come back, I think, multiplied by desire, by our goal, our motivation, and also by our willingness to get the results, and by how strongly we believe in it. So that, again, is a point to help us strengthen our belief in ourselves and our idea of what we're capable of doing.
Wow, that's a nice way to put it. Well, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you a question. You are known as the Woman's Joy Doctor. How'd you get that reputation? How'd you get that?
Well, you know what? I'm a happy person, and I smile a lot. And like, even through some of my hardest struggles, people just get me and go, "How can you still be smiling?" Like, you know what? When I'm not, I've been really depressed too, because I think that's something we have to choose to participate in. And that's my choice. I love being able to share smiles with other people and give them a boost and make them happy. That's what feeds me in particular. So I'm smiley, I'm joyous, and I started getting the nickname Dr. Joy. So I am I took it. And people call me Dr. Joy, but I'm the joy doc.
It's good to have you with us, Dr. Blake. We've run through the half hour. Our guest has been Dr. Julian Blake. She is the Joy Doctor, the Women's Joy Doctor, no question about that. And we only have a couple of seconds. What are we going to talk about? What's the topic for your next broadcast?
Oh, my goodness.
You figured it out?
I'm not sure exactly, but it's
all right. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about that. There's so many things we could talk to you about. That's no problem. No problem at all. So we'll see you on the 27th of November, your next broadcast, the 27th of November. Thank you so much for being with us, Doctor. It's been great.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. See you next time. Have a great day, and take care of yourself. Bye for now.